Today on the pod is misery and sadness for myself in regards to the LA Lakers, who, although they haven't been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, the most recent losing streak has them too far out to make any noise. And so this is kind of, RIP to the 2018-2019 Lakers. And I'm going to bring Kyle on in a little bit. We had a discussion a few days ago. This was before things got really bad. So some of that won't apply. But a lot of what we discussed, I still think applies. But Bill Plaschke, he's a writer for the LA Times. He said something recently, and I don't know if it's entirely true, but it's certainly true from 2000 until now. And he wrote that this was the most disappointing Lakers season in Laker history. And man, on so many levels, I think there's a lot of disappointment. First and foremost, you bring LeBron James in. You expect him to get you to the playoffs. He's unable to do that. A lot of that has to do with the injury. And he's not the only significant injury that's happened. And I do think injuries has played a significant part in the downfall of this Lakers team. But they're not the only team with injuries. And since LeBron has come back, I believe they're 5-12. I might be a little off on that number. But nevertheless, they have a losing record since he's returned from his month-long injury. So they haven't been very good since he came back. Now there's been injuries to Rondo on two separate occasions. Ingram and Kuzma have been in and out a little bit. Lonzo Ball has the big ankle injury. All that plays a factor, but it's so disappointing because if they had beaten teams that they could and should have beaten, they'd be in the playoff hunt. If you beat Cleveland, which you should be able to do regardless of where it's played, when you lose to the Knicks at home, when you lose to the Suns on the road, you know, when you lose to the Kings, I know that they're a playoff team, but when you have a 2-point lead left and all you got to do is play defense for 3 seconds and you lose at on a buzzer-beating three, those add up. And so that's where the disappointment comes from is we've seen the Lakers beat Golden State. We've seen them beat Houston, Boston. They've beaten some really good teams. They're a capable team, but they are so inconsistent. And that's where some of the disappointment comes in. And then for me personally, Luke Walton is going to get fired. And I just don't think the disappointment from this year falls on the coaching staff. I don't know of any coach that could have guided this team to the playoffs under the same circumstances. You got the management sabotaging team chemistry with trade rumors. You have really bad trades that made the team worse, and now the future is worse as well. And I'm talking about Zubac, who I love, and Svi Mykhailiuk, who is gone. Who knows what he could have become? He's just as good of a shooter as anyone we have, and he was a second-round pick! The front office is a joke. And they're not going to fire themselves. So I think that's where a lot of the concern comes from, is just utter competency from Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to accept that we have a front office that is as inept as the previous regime. But it's starting to seem that way. And so much of what the Lakers do for the next 10 years depends on what happens this summer. They've got to bring in players that help them compete now, and they can't trade away their future. And unfortunately, I think the opposite of those two things are going to happen. And if it does, I hope I'm wrong, but if it does, the Lakers are going to be in a world of hurt 2 to 3 years from now. So if you're a Laker fan, which some of you are, a lot of you aren't, you got to cross your fingers and hope and pray that they're able to land a quality free agent and they are able to retain the talent they have. Because the talent they've lost in recent years has really hurt them. And I'm talking D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. You have those two guys on this year's team, this is a different team So it's really painful to draft players who develop into good talent and then you let them go. When you're in the business of acquiring talent and then losing them for nothing, you cannot win in the NBA. So I'm really discouraged. Hopefully Jeannie Buss has the pulse of the team to kind of realize that just because you missed the playoffs doesn't mean you have to blow it up. But there cannot be another offseason of Rondo and McGee and turmoil and whoo. I mean, that KCP deal, that's looking like straight highway robbery. $35, $40 million for two terrible seasons on the Lakers. Once upon a time, Rob Pelinka said KCP falling into the Lakers' lap was manna from heaven. Yeah, right. That was more like moldy bread from the sewer. I'm getting mad. So I don't want to continue to get more and more frustrated. My wife is already can't tolerate me at home. So let's bring on Kyle Bruderer to talk some Lakers. And boy, oh boy, if you're a Jazz fan, pile on me because I deserve it. This team is a joke. And for one of the few times in my life, I've been ashamed to have been a Lakers fan. But that is what the culmination of this season has made me feel. So without further ado, Kyle Bruderer.
All right, Kyle, thanks for answering my desperation plea, Laker. I feel like this has become our relationship now, as I'm on the edge of the cliff about to jump off, and you just keep me from jumping off. So the Lakers recently, they just beat the Pelicans, which I don't think says much. In fact, and I'm good at this because I'm kind of a pessimist by nature, I can actually spin that win as being a negative, but I'm not going to do that. How do you feel about the current state of the Lakers right now?
Current state of the Lakers, I think there's a couple things that come to mind. One, it's a brand spanking new team with very few returning players that have had real impact on the team. And that could have been said at the beginning of the year, obviously. And they did start to mesh and play well together before the injuries started plaguing them. So I really honestly believe that the biggest reason why the Lakers have had the woes they've had are because of their injuries. Like, and it's so easy to see the team just fall apart. And then the whole, you know, the trade talk and all that stuff obviously played a huge role in it. But I'm definitely more optimistic, but I've been trying to be more realistic while being an optimist. I think you and I need to meet in the middle, because I'm more of an optimist where it's like, I love the Lakers and I want to have their back. And then there's other moments where it's like, I freaking hate you guys right now because of just the decisions that the organization has made, or, you know, effort from players or whatever it may be. But like, I believe that we can make the eighth spot in the playoffs if one of those other, I would say, like the bottom three teams, if one of those teams doesn't play really well, like this latter part of the season, I think that we can gain some momentum and sneak into there. I think the fact that Brandon Ingram has been playing a lot better lately, finally, is really big. I think that Kyle Kuzma needs to play a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, I could go on and on about it, but I think what it really comes down to is it is a new team that are still learning to play together, and you have a lot of young players that have been getting butthurt about being on the trading block. And
Go ahead. I don't think the new team flies anymore, because enough games have been played to where an identity is formed. And I think that that's true for every NBA team. You look at Boston, everyone's like, oh, Boston's so talented, when are they going to get it together? The answer is they're not. Once you've played as many games as each NBA team has played, you are who you are. and the Lakers are capable of beating anybody, and they're capable of losing to anybody. Yeah. And that type of inconsistency usually leads to you missing the playoffs. And I know Magic and Rob would disagree, and so would Jeannie, but I actually think missing the playoffs in the long run could actually benefit the Lakers. And I want to be in the playoffs, but being the eighth seed, to me, you might as well not be in. Yeah. There's no value in getting in there getting swept by the Warriors. I'm sorry. The Buss family might make an extra $10 million for being able to sell tickets and all the revenue that comes from a playoff game, but being the ninth seed and the eighth seed, that's, I don't know. You know, me, you're very well versed with Lakers, so am I. The beloved, the late, great Max Kellerman, he used to do a Lakers talk show on ESPN in Los Angeles, used to say, and I agree with him totally. Oh, my gosh.
What?
Okay, sorry. Sorry for the technical interruption there. My mom just called me. Freaking mom. What I was saying was Max Kellerman had this train of thought, and I agree with him. It's you want to be in one of two places. You want to be getting to the conference finals, which we're not going to, or you want to be bad. You want a good pick. The last place you want to be is in what he would call second-round purgatory, or, you know, basically being a low seed with no chance of doing anything in the playoffs because you're not getting a great pick. And odds are picks 15 to 30, it's very rare that you get a franchise guy in that position.
Yeah.
And so we keep our pick this year. That's important to note because last year we were bad and we gave it away. You remember this?
Yeah.
So we have our first round pick this year. Picking 19 or 20 versus picking potentially 13th or 14th, that's the difference between drafting Klay Thompson and drafting, I'm trying to think of a fair example, Rodney Hood.
Yeah.
Pretty big difference between those two guys. You know what I mean? And so I think this is what bothers me the most about the Lakers right now. Remind my memory. I'm kind of testing you here, but what was the notion going into the season? What was the kind of goal for this year? You remember for the Lakers?
The goal was to make the playoffs.
Yes. I mean, yes. But there was more to it than that. I think you're leaving out the important stuff. You remember what it is?
The goal for this year was probably just to figure out who stays and who goes.
Yes. The goal for this year, and I'm not going to take the time to go back and dig up the quotes, but my understanding was we know we're a work in progress. We know we're young. We want to make the playoffs. That is a goal of ours. But this year, it's about being patient. That word was used so many times in the offseason. We're going to be patient. We're building something, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like the way that I understood it was making the playoffs is the gravy, but the mashed potatoes and the turkey and the main course was figuring out what we have, building an identity, you know, continuing all the good progress that we had built up over the last 18 months. And none of that has happened, Kyle. We've thrown the mashed potatoes and the turkey in the trash, and now all we have left is we look at the table and there's just gravy. We have nothing to pour the gravy on.
Here's the thing. The mashed potatoes and the meat and whatever got injured. I agree with what you're saying to some degree, but I feel like I have been thinking of a pretty strong counter at the same time. And it depends on what's most important to the Lakers.
What's most important to them is wrong.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. But here's what's going to happen. And here's what I think, based on what the Lakers have shown is important to them, is to try and win as soon as possible. Here's what if they want to try and win while LeBron is here, this is what they need to do. They need to make a push and try and make the playoffs because free agents already don't want to freaking play here.
Yeah.
we need to attract free agents more than getting a draft pick that may or may not turn into Klay Thompson 3 or 4 years down the road. If we're going to try and win with LeBron James, we have to make a strong push towards the end of the year so that players can say, okay, these guys can make, you know, they can make some noise if they have me on their team. But if they, the team can fall apart and then go ahead and get a decent draft pick that may or may not turn into anything. If I'm on the outside, I want to win. Like, these players have, you know, their careers are ticking by. The players that are true difference makers and stars on their teams, the ones that are going to be eligible in free agency, we need to land one of those guys, and I can't imagine them being attracted to us at all if we don't make the playoffs.
You have perfectly addressed the problem, which is the Lakers no longer care about building a championship team. They care about
They care about winning right now.
No, they care about winning with LeBron. Yeah. They don't care about winning right now. And that's a problem, Kyle, because there's only 3 years left on LeBron's contract. If we want to be real, there's only 2 years left because he has an opt-out after the third year. Everyone says he's here for 4 years. That's not factually true. Factually speaking, he's here for three.
Yeah.
And so this, to me, feels a lot like there's so many cautionary tales of this kind of behavior in NBA history. One of the more recent and poignant cautionary tales is that of the Phoenix Suns. Remember the summer in which we were like, man, we'd really like Isaiah Thomas, and we didn't sign him.
Yeah.
The Suns signed him to a crazy good deal. We were like, man, that's a really good deal. And they had Isaiah, and I think this was pre-Devin Booker. They had Goran Dragic. They had Brandon Knight.
Yeah.
They had a nice little squad, and they ended up winning 48 games and just missed the playoffs by one game. And what did they do the next summer? They did some crazy stuff. They signed a Tyson Chandler to a huge deal. They tried to sign LaMarcus Aldridge. They traded Goran Dragic. And they stopped the building, and they tried to win. And sometimes those two things don't coincide, and you have to be really careful. And the stuff that I hear about the Lakers right now, we need to fire Luke. He's not getting the job done.
It's stupid.
It is stupid because getting to the playoffs was never the mandate for Luke's job security. It was getting better. And we can't fully evaluate that because the injuries, as you well mentioned, and it's a critical point to make.
Yeah.
Let's also, falling out
right before those injuries happened.
Yes. They were starting
basketball. So if you want to gauge anything, gauge that.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's not going to happen because they're no longer looking at it through the microscope of, yeah, we'd love to win with LeBron, but we want to win, period. And so we got to do things that are going to help us win long term. Now it's just tunnel vision. LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. You know what? I would love to win with LeBron. But if it is either win with LeBron or become the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm not going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
But that is not the mandate from the Lakers. And it's frustrating because I just don't see a clear path to, you know, if A, B, and C happens, then that equals championship. It's just not there. Like, the wise thing to do, Kyle, and it's not going to happen, but what I would love to see happen is we retain all of our guys. We tell New Orleans you can shove it for the way that you tried to sabotage the team. We're not going to trade with you at all. Our big trade offer was on the table and it's gone. We keep the young guys. We keep Luke. We have $40 million. We let Rondo and McGee go. We try and sign a B-level free agent like Kemba Walker because it's possible to get a Kemba Walker type guy.
Yeah.
You go out, you grab a Kemba. You have a Kemba and LeBron. You hope that the young guys continue to develop. I think that squad, if they stay healthy next year, goes to the playoffs. And then who knows? Maybe in 2020 – you've built enough of a rapport with the next crop of free agents, which would be Anthony Davis, that then you add an Anthony and you have a Kemba, a LeBron, and Anthony. You keep some of your guys. You'd be able to probably keep two or three of them. And then you have not only short-term success, but you'd also have long-term success. And I just feel like we have completely thrown long-term success off the boat, and we're just trying to find the nearest piece of land to try and dock the boat of success, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree with you totally. I wonder, you know, it would be incredible. Insight would be to know what Magic and LeBron discussed before LeBron decided to sign with us.
I know. If we could only somehow get access to LeBron's living room from July 1st of 2018, it would be the most fascinating, magnificent hour of our lives.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, what if LeBron has some tomatoes? You know, I'll come if you promise me this, this, and this. Or I'll come, or, you know, if this doesn't happen by this time, I'm going to demand a trade, and I want you crazy. Can you agree to this, that this will happen if I demand? Like, I don't know. Like, I
would love it if he demanded a trade.
What?
I would love it if he demanded a trade.
I
would love it.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that. But
what if New York called you up? We would never accept this, but just hypothetically speaking, what if they said, we'll give you our first pick of this year's draft. We'll give you Kevin Knox, and we'll give you a future first-round pick. Two ones and Kevin Knox for LeBron James.
And knowing that we'd be getting Zion Williamson?
Yes, exactly. Oh. Knowing you'd be getting Zion Williamson. But in turn, the Knicks would get Anthony Davis in a trade. They'd get Kyrie and LeBron.
Yeah.
So they'd be a championship contender. The more I think about it, I know this is sick to think of because we don't often disagree with Jazz fans, but there is some satisfaction in drafting players and watching them develop and those being your guys.
Yeah. True. Which and I'm just Julius Randle rip us up last night.
Oh. And then D'Angelo being an all-star. It's like, oh, it's, I don't know. My thing is, getting LeBron is great. Do you want to win a championship? Absolutely. You cannot sacrifice the health of the franchise for one player. And it seems like we're about to do that.
Yeah.
It hurts. We never did that with Kobe.
No.
He had many a demand throughout his 20 years as a Laker. And some of them he got, and some of them he didn't. But we never compromised the health of the franchise with Kobe.
That's true. Dr. Buss was the man. I remember that story when Kobe was like, I want to be traded. And then Dr. Buss was like, didn't he tell that story about trading a 4-carat diamond for trading 4 1-carat diamonds?
Yep, exactly.
He said he wouldn't do it. Because,
yep.
You know, the value is too much. I thought, yeah. Dang it.
If only we had that intelligence when trying to trade 9 players for one guy.
Oh. Yeah, that's sickening, actually.
Yeah. All right, well, let's end with this. What would you like to see happen? Well, you already talked about this. What do you think is going to happen between now and August 1st with the Lakers?
Dude, I feel like I don't know how to guess this stuff anymore because I'm never right. It's always going to be completely wrong. My guess, I don't know. I really don't know because part of me wants to go the pessimism route and think that no one's going to want to come play with us because there's already, you know, the same thing happened with Kobe. There's always that, you know, they don't really want to play with Kobe. There's players that, I don't know, maybe they don't want to play with LeBron and, you know, the way that he throws his teammates and his coaches under the bus constantly and disrupts team chemistry. I don't know if that's going to happen or if we're able to get meetings with a bunch of free agents and that we're able to kind of have our way with it. So, I don't know. The key is out to see if Magic and Rob are truly capable of landing another superstar. I mean,
yeah,
I think
right.
It sucks that we didn't land Paul George.
It really does.
I don't think anyone in the world could have predicted the rebound that he has had in his career. The dude's playing MVP caliber basketball right now, and it sucks that he chose to stay in Oklahoma City. So,
oh man, so you know, and kind of a sick, I'm trying to think how I want to describe this, in sort of a twisted turn of events. I think the way we handled Julius Randle impacted the Paul George situation because they share an agent. Yes. And I just think that, one, Paul George had a good time in Oklahoma winning, even though they lost in the first round. I think he felt like there was more hope than he ever had in Indiana.
Yeah.
Which is, and then number two, I just think his agent hates the Lakers. And so, because of the way that they dealt with Randle, and there's been a couple other stories of this Christopher dude. I can't remember his last name, but oh, the what ifs. I feel like that's the theme of my sports fandom in this decade. The what ifs of every sport that I follow. And
yep.
I want to get out of the what if game. And that's the only way to get out of that is to develop talent in-house.
Yeah.
That's how you can control your own fate. And I feel like if we make the playoffs, we probably would still fire Walton because there's no way we beat the Warriors. And if we don't make the playoffs, we fire Walton. The list of candidates is disturbing, to say the least,
yeah,
of people who would replace him. I mean, Jason Kidd, he's been fired twice. Yeah. Ty Lue, you know, he only got the job because of LeBron, and the second LeBron left, he got dumped.
Exactly. Like,
so it's not like, oh, Greg Popovich wants to come, or Quinn Snyder wants to make the move, or Brad Stevens is open to change. We're talking about dumping our...
The only coach that I would want over... Okay, well, you got Luke, you got Pop, you got Stevens. You know, the only coach that I would be like, okay, let's get rid of Luke Walton, would be Coach K. That's the... I don't see him ever leaving Duke, but he is the coach that I would be like, absolutely, let's bring him on board.
Devil's advocate here, though, is, yeah, I would have liked Coach K a decade ago. Dude's in his mid-60s. He'd be one of the oldest coaches in the NBA. So?
The dude is still one of the best coaches ever.
I just don't know if you'd get enough years out of him for it to make sense.
I don't know.
I don't either. Oh, boy. This is going to make for a fun podcast come mid-April when we've either fired Luke Walton or we're in the playoffs. So
I want the click remote for that. I want to be
totally
fast forward, do that. Yeah, my body will experience the highs and lows that it's going to go through, but I can just skip that aspect and move on with my life. There's a couple times a year where that stuff happens, and I just hate life. I'm just so tired of like having positive, you know, expectations of this team and free agency and trades and all that, and having, and again, let me say that I don't expect anyone to feel bad for me, because I get it.
No.
I get the fact that the Lakers have won and won and won, and no one feels bad, and they love the situation that we're in. But I'm just saying that is how I feel, and how other Lakers after this podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't like that time of year. I want next season to start is what I want.
Oh man, I don't know if I'm ready. Next year could be LeBron James and a bunch of new people.
It could be. I don't know.
Oh boy, you know who brought up in? I know. This always happens when we talk Lakers. We can just talk Lakers for days.
Well, but we do.
You know who brought up an interesting point?
Who?
On my podcast a few weeks ago was Jordan Smith.
Okay.
I was getting in the spiel on all these points, and he was like, you don't sound like a Lakers fan anymore. You sound like a Jazz fan. And I think what he meant by that was the Lakers would consistently just do anything they could to win a championship.
Yeah.
But the Jazz wouldn't. And it's like, what is the right train of thought? Just sell it all to try and win a championship now? Or is there a way to – and I don't know. And maybe the Warriors' recent success has soured me to – I don't know. I'm beginning to think I don't know anything about sports anymore.
I don't think we really do at all. I think sports talk is just a bunch of crap. it's entertainment, and that is all it is. It's pipe dreams being put into words and not really happening. Like, and you go back and forth to it, like when it comes to trades and free agency and stuff like that. Like, I don't ever want to hear another word from Wojnarowski.
Adrian, yeah.
Like, I don't ever want to hear any of that stuff again. Like, yes, he is an extremely well-informed person, but I miss the days where it was kind of a mystery. I feel like all of that inside stuff is ruining everything. Not only because it spoils, but because players hear that stuff. They don't like to have their personal lives and their decisions broadcast to the entire world and have, you know, like, there's obviously rats and snitches all over the place that give him and other reporters all this information. And I don't like it. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I want to just hear the news and say, oh, well, that happened. Okay. Because we can hear all the speculation and you and I can complain and cry and moan about it all day, which is a waste of our emotions that will have zero impact on the outcome of what happens. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I love the Lakers. I want them to win and be successful. And it's sad and frustrating that, you know, Luke is getting all the blame for all this crap when I truly believe that the biggest reason why we are not ranked at least seventh or sixth right now is it's because of injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had a brilliant thought come to mind, Kyle. I think you're really going to appreciate this.
As we continue to try and end it, I just thought of a perfect real-life example of kind of how I feel. And so before we go any further, I'm going to relate a story about some people that I know. And once I start to tell the story, you might know who I'm talking about, so no names. All right. There are two people kind of in my life. They're friends. And they make decisions term that they think is going to bring them happiness. And in the long term, and sometimes you can see this and sometimes you can't, but it's pretty obvious to me that they are hurting their long-term happiness by making short-term decisions. And that's what I'm just afraid of with the Lakers, because I look at these two people who they make these decisions about their relationship, and it just doesn't make sense long-term because they're not in harmony on a couple of key issues that I think really helps relationships flourish. And you just wish that you could pull them aside, and you can't. And I think the same applies to Magic and Rob. They're going to do whatever they want. No one's going to talk sense into them. But you just wish you could pull them aside and say, guys, I know you keep trying to make this work, and you break up, and then you get back together, and, you know, life's hard when you're single. You know, life's hard when you're not winning championships in the NBA and you're trying to figure it out. But you know what's even harder is knowing 5-10 years down the road, we might be even be in a worse position because of these short-term decisions that we made. And so I think what makes Dr. Buss such an iconic owner is he had the ability to see into the future and make good decisions, but he never did anything short-term that would hurt the long-term. I mean, you think about some of the moves that he made, signing Shaq, trading for Kobe, trading for Gasol. I mean, there was never a time where we were even rumored to do some of the crazy stuff we've done this year. I mean, and so to bring the metaphor back into place, it's like you just hate to see people that are your friends and also people like the Lakers doing things that doesn't make sense. And, you know, when I talk about the Lakers in that way, I'm referring to the Zubac trade. I'm referring to the Reggie Bullock trade. I'm referring to, you know, signing a bunch of old non-shooter type veterans. And then, and here's the worst part about it, Kyle, is because I know that you and I defended those moves when they happened. Oh, it makes sense. We're going to bully ball the Warriors, and we don't want to try and copy them. No one can do it as good as them. You know, I thought that was a good idea at the time. It didn't work out, but we can't admit that it's not working out. That's the worst part. And so to bring that back to my friends, who I think are making poor decisions, is all they see is, oh, I'm happier now because we're back together. And what you're not seeing is, yeah, well, you might be happier now, but this doesn't solve the problems for the future. You know, you guys haven't even addressed the issues that have prevented you from moving forward in the first place. And so that's what I think frustrates me about the Lakers so much right now is like, oh, well, we traded Zubac because we need to get some shooting in here. Dude, that didn't solve the problem. The problem was you signed a bunch of bums in free agency, and they didn't pan out. And now you're trying to double down and be like, oh, that was the right move, bringing these guys in. It's just injuries. And it's like, well, injuries certainly played a part, but what do you expect when you sign a bunch of old guys?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was really long-winded. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. I try to keep it vague, but
I think so.
It's just, yeah, I think you get the point. Now we're starting to ramble, but I think there is serious concern in Lakerland in just the decision making, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm glad that we beat New Orleans. I felt like at the very end of the game, LeBron started looking a little bit more like himself.
Right.
Which I hope can continue. Because a lot of what we've seen from LeBron, and I don't know how much of it is just recovering from injury or what, but, you know, it's not even the fact that, you know, maybe he's a little bit limited with his legs and stuff, but it comes down to effort.
Yes.
Like, you can tell if someone is being lazy or if they're limited. And
yep.
With LeBron, it came down to effort. And
totally.
So I'm hoping that, you know, I don't know. Like, I think that it was a positive step yesterday, and so I'm looking forward to the Milwaukee game, which is it tomorrow night?
Yeah.
So that'll be on ESPN, so I'm definitely going to watch it. And that's going to be tough because Milwaukee, I think, technically has the best record in the NBA right now.
They have the best, and to add to that, they have the best road record in the NBA as well.
So, yeah, even more so, it's going to be very interesting to see how we stack up against them. And, gosh, I freaking miss Lonzo Ball. Not having him play right now really hurts. We're not going to have Lance Stevenson play tomorrow either because he, like, sprained his toe or something like that. So
that's all right because Lance hasn't been very good for
no,
a while.
No, Lance has his moments, but he's expendable.
Yeah. He's one of those guys, just like a Tyson Chandler, who you don't mind having on the team if you don't have to rely on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they can come in when a guy gets hurt or maybe they have a hot night and you ride him out, you love having those guys. But when you need Lance to win games, that's tough. That's not a place you want to be in.
Yeah, I hope that Josh Hart gets some more burn because Lance isn't going to be in there. And I hope Josh Hart can get over whatever kind of slump he's in because
he's in an injury slump, man. His knee is messed up.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's had knee tendonitis for a month. Can't get rid of it. The only way you get rid of that is by not playing.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that we won that game because we needed a win. It is concerning that we can't beat anybody comfortably. Does that not concern you? Not even the bad team.
Oh, yeah. It's extremely concerning because when you have a player like LeBron James, you want to be able to sit him for a good chunk in the fourth quarter, especially like you don't – against bad teams, you don't want your best players to have to close out. So,
yeah.
And I think LeBron realizes that, and maybe that's why he's been playing, like taking plays off and been lazy. He's trying to save his body or whatever, but it's like, okay, well, save your body and not make the playoffs or make the push, trust in your body, and, you know, try and get something done. So We'll have to see how he continues it. I mean, if he continues to play how he did in like the I would say more the fourth quarter of that game, then that's great. You know, him playing that way is contagious.
Yep. But the playing the other way is contagious too.
Exactly.
When you're taking plays off and pointing the finger at your teammates, and that's not a really a good example to be setting. And I think it really negatively impacts the team because it's like, well, I don't give a crap. LeBron's going to do whatever he wants, so whatever. Why am I going to die for this loose ball? Why am I going to do that?
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that's enough Laker chat for one session. So
that went a lot longer. It's funny how a 10-minute plan turned into 35 minutes.
I know. I don't know how to keep these conversations short. It's such an integral part of our lives.
It is. It's I don't know what to say anymore. I want us to start winning more. I want to watch them play and enjoy it.
Yes, totally. And it does feel like it's been a long time since we've been able to enjoy it. You know, yeah. Winning a championship is obviously the dream, but like you said, being able to enjoy the team, I think that's something that I do miss.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll see you in a little bit. Thanks for talking Lakers, and let's hope that we keep winning.
Sounds good. I'll see you soon.
All right. See you, man.